Hi, it's Phil from the Wine Depository. You're listening to a replay of my interview with Luca Corrado from Vietti. This was originally recorded live to air on The Wine Show on Inner FM 96.5. You can catch The Wine Show each Sunday morning from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. Listen while you are hungover in bed is my recommendation. The show is on Inner FM 96.5 in Melbourne or via your favourite radio app.
Joining me now is Luca Corrado from Vietti. Good morning, Luca.
Ciao, good morning.
Now, you've just landed in Brisbane. How was your trip?
from Italy, it's not so close, but I slept well on the plane, so it's fine. And happy to be here in Australia.
I was going to say, you're here now, and you're arriving on the morning of our election results, so there'll be some pretty happy people up that way, I think.
Ah, okay, good for you. We will have elections soon also in Italy and Europe in the next few weeks.
Yeah. Hey, Luca, thanks for joining us on the show. Could you tell us about Vietti?
Vietti is our family is one very ancient winery in the Barolo region that is one of the most oldest wine region of Italy, and we are west part of Italy. Let's say is the Italian part next to the French border.
Yeah,
and is a wine region that belonged to Roman time. The first trace of viticulture go back at more or less 2,000 years ago.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. That's a long history.
Yeah. For Vietti, a little bit more recent because the first label we founded in the cellar from Vietti was 1873. But the winery was existed for sure somehow between the 1600s and 1700s, something like this.
And so, what would the wine have been that you found with the 1873 label?
How it is the label? It's very Barolo always existed.
Yep.
And the time when the label was very, very, very simple. It's fantastic also to know because in Europe, the people started to sell the wine by bottles only in the second part of the 1800s. And before, the wine was sold by barrel to the family or to the tavern. And the reason was transport because the road they were not so good.
Yeah.
It's not that today are better, but it was much more easy and safe to transport the wine by barrel instead of the glass of the bottle. So the reason why in Europe we will find labels and bottles only from the second part of the 1800 is this reason.
And so when somebody bought a barrel, what would they do with it once they got it home?
Historically, they used to bottle at their own.
Okay.
So in the 1800s, 1700s, the tavern family they used to buy barrel and then bottle at their home. And for sure, also the medium consumption of wine was much higher than today. So they drink more. So the barrel was going faster.
Yeah, that's funny. Hey, and so you guys obviously make wine in Piedmont, and you make quite a few different labels from what I see. What's the kind of breakup of what you make?
Like I said before, wine region of Piedmont is a very, very old wine region, and we have a lot of historical indigenous grape variety. In terms of wine, the most famous is for sure Barolo and Barbaresco that is made with Nebbiolo grape. And Piemonte, you have, when you think about Piemonte, the closest thing, as you can imagine, is Burgundy. So there are all these rolling hills with a lot of difference between vineyard and vineyard. So the sense and the taste of single vineyard cru is so strong as in Burgundy. So we also have a similar classification as Burgundy on the Barolo. Another very important wine for Piemonte, and actually probably is the most planted grape variety, is the Barbera.
Yeah.
The Barbera Historically is our official wine for the food. So the real wine that when we go to the restaurant, we always open a bottle of Barbera. In Alba, that is also very tourist city, yep. We say that is very easy to see who is the tourist and who is the local in the restaurant, depending from what they open. Because locals, they always drink Barbera, and the tourist Barolo, Barbaresco, Brunello, and so
on. I know, I've made that sin. I stayed a night in Barolo, and I went and ordered Barolo with my meal.
Yes, no, it's fine, absolutely, yeah. No complaint. But let's say that I love Barbera because Barbera historically was the most important wine and is today the most important grape, the most planted grape variety in Piedmont. And historically, it's so easy to do food pair. So it's so, yeah, so flexible with the food and... we see that more and more, thanks God, also the new generation, they really like more variety where they can do a lot of food pairing. And like historically is it, because, you know how much in Italy and in the Mediterranean culture we are fanatic of wine and food. But that's the nice. Best experience is food and wine together. And Barbera... for all the Italian wines, is probably one of the most flexible to do food pairing.
What are, in your opinion anyway, the hallmarks of a really good Barbera?
Barbera, there are two wine regions of Barbera,
yep,
in Piemonte, and Barbera from Alba and Barbera from Asti. There's two wine regions, one next to the other. It's a little bit different. Both can be very powerful, very intense, very darker fruit wine that can age also very well in oak. Normally all our Barbera, they age between 16, 18 months between small barrel and large cask. But both the most simple version or the most important version, they are rich, powerful, fruity wine, but always has a little bit of acidity behind. That this is what makes this wine so easy to do food pairing, because this acidity clean your mouth from one bite to the other and always make the wine never too much robust, too big, you know, too heavy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just looking on your website, and you make a couple of examples of Barbera D'Alba and Barbera d'Asti, so people could actually experiment just within your brand as to the differences or similarities between the two regions.
See, yes, is in Asti and Alba we make our first Barbera we call Trevigne. That is the first step. So it's not already very simple Barbera because it's a selection of some very important vineyard, but I would, yep, say is the first step as you can introduce in the Barbera world. But for, you know, your friends or that they would like to really have an interesting Barbera, we have two that are very particular.
Yep.
In Alba Scarrone and Scarrone Vigna Vecchia. This is very special because Scarrone, with probably another vineyard, are the last two vineyards of a Barbera remaining planted in a Grand Cru Barolo vineyards.
Okay.
So let's say all around these vineyards, there are some, today, unfortunately, I have to say, there is only Nebbiolo to make a Barolo. We kept, you know, a few acres, a few hectares there in the heart of the Cru Barolo. To make our Barbera. And in particular, one of that, the one that is called Vigna Vecchia. Vigna, yeah, Vecchia means old vine, because the vineyard was planted by my great-grandfather in 1918. So it's 100 years old vines.
Fantastic.
So this is quite, it's a rare bottle of wine to find, but it's very, very, very interesting. Mainly because... maybe for the people that they wanted to see what is the difference between an old wine made from an old vine, 100 years old, I think he's old. And the other Scarrone that is made with vineyard planted 30 years ago, 35 years ago, that is in the perfect life of a vineyard, is very interesting to see the difference.
Yeah, I'm writing all of this down, and I'm going to do a bit of homework once we hang up, because this sounds amazing.
See, it's funny because I think, you know, before to be a winemaker, I'm a wine lover too, you know, and I love wine for sure. It's not like I will be not able to do what I'm doing. And I'm always fascinated, you know, when I can find something like this that I can experiment with my palate, with my nose, an example, what not. Very old vine can give to a wine, you know, and what is the difference? That is very, very intriguing, very funny.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we have those kind of experiences in Australia with old vine Shiraz, and the difference between old vine Shiraz and, you know, a not so old vine Shiraz is chalk and cheese. It's cool. It's good. I was talking to the wine importer, and she teed up this interview, obviously, and it was just really good timing that you're arriving this morning. I'm going to give her a call, and we're going to have a chat about if I can get my hands on some of this stuff. I mean, the point of the show was actually Nebbiolo, but I'm fascinated by what you're saying about Barbera. Do you have an opinion on why Nebbiolo got worldwide acclaim and is, you know, the rock star, and especially Barolo and Barbaresco, and why Barbera isn't held in the same regard?
The fact that Barolo and Barbaresco that are made for sure with the Nebbiolo grape, is more similar to the grape. Nebbiolo is variety very similar to Pinot Noir, you know, so a little bit lighter in color, but with a lot of complexity, a lot of layer, long ageability, and, you know, more sophisticated wine and more fancy wine, let's say. And historically, also during the time, 100 years ago, the king of Italy, the Savoy family, was a huge promoter of Barolo because, they always try to compete against the French cousin who was making the best wine, the best food, the best cheese. Instead to make a war, they were making the competition of food and wine that is much better, let's say. And Barolo was, the wine of the king. And for this reason, Barolo became so famous and so popular. And actually, you know, is a fantastic wine, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that.
But the Barbera always historically was the real wine for the people, and it is today. Because one of the errors that sometimes we do, and again, when I say we do, I consider myself as a wine consumer before to be a winemaker, is thinking that the wine that we love during the centuries, they always been made in the same style. And this is not. Even for us, that we are very traditional wine producer, the wine changed and evolved. And if you think in the 1800s, the style of the wine more popular in Europe was very different than today. So the wine more popular in the 1800s in Europe was port, Madeira, and Marsala. And so all these fortified wine. And so also Barolo, Barbaresco, but some wine as Burgundy, Bordeaux, they were made on this style to be more close to the market, you know, to be well received by the market. And for this reason, how much food how much food pairing you can do with the port or Madeira? Not so much.
Not heaps,
and
no.
For this reason, the real wine that the farmer and the people they were having and drinking every day was Barbera, and is still today.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. You're on the Wine Show on Inner FM 96.5. My name's Phil Smith, and I'm talking to Luca Corrado from Vietti. Now, Luca, you mentioned a little bit about competition between the French and the Italians. I'm going to launch a slightly different competition and just ask, have you tried much Australian Nebbiolo or Barbera or Dolcetto? And do you have an opinion on the wines that we make?
Allora, I have to tell you that, you know, I'm traveling every other year to Australia, and now it's since many, many years. And I have to tell you that my first trip 10 years ago, I discovered so many incredible wines. And I had to admit that 10 years ago, I was very ignorant about everything, because unfortunately, I must to say that the most exported Australian wine outside your border are different wine that you have here in the country.
Absolutely.
And when I came here the first time, I said, wow, amazing. They're incredible wine, fantastic wine. And I love, there are so many incredible wine. There are also a lot of Italian grape variety that are doing very well. And Nebbiolo, in particular, is a variety that has Pinot Noir. And I think there are somehow related, probably long cousin.
Yeah.
Our variety, as you know, very picky, very difficult in terms of quality of the soil, weather, climate condition, because they suffer the heat, they suffer the droughtness, they need a special soil. When variety as Cabernet, Merlot, Chardonnay are much more strong and much more easy to adapt. Well, the best Nebbiolo that I tasted around the world, they were not in California, not in France, they were from Australia. I had incredible Nebbiolo, some very interesting Barbera, also some good Dolcetto,
yeah.
You know, some part like Adelaide Hills, I had example, I had some fantastic Nebbiolo. I think there are some corner where you can do very, very good Nebbiolo. And actually, the one that I had, they really kept the DNA, kept the main characteristic of Nebbiolo.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, your point is completely true. In Italy, Nebbiolo doesn't grow all over Italy. It's a very select few places where it really excels. And the same goes in Australia. There's a few places where it seems to have found its home, and maybe the best places are yet to be planted. But I certainly feel like, in, like you say, in the last 10, 15 years, people are getting a better handle on how to make it into a wine that's interesting.
See, I had, like I said, I had a very, very interesting Nebbiolo and some very good Barbera. Barbera is a little bit more easy, because even in California I had some good Barbera, but I never had a good Nebbiolo as I had from Australian production. You know, this is, I'm sure that we will see even better in the future.
Absolutely. Now, Luca, I'm told that despite you coming around to Australia to do consumer events, they're basically all sold out. So people aren't going to be able to catch you this time, but they're going to have to keep their eye out for your next trip. But the best thing to do is, I think, find some of your Barbera on the shelves. And I know I'm going to be, after the show, looking up to see if I can get any. And just drink a glass or two and enjoy them and, you know, see what it's all about. And I actually believe you have pretty good distribution nationwide. People can sort of find your wines all over Australia in big bottle shops.
Yes, so, but you know, maybe if happy to see you next time, or if you will travel to Piemonte, you know, please send, you know, your customer, your friends, or the people online, if they would like to visit the winery, we will be very happy to welcome them.
That is
just don't come in during the harvest time, because we will be busy. But let's say if you come during the harvest time, we will put you work.
Put you to work, which isn't actually a bad thing. One day picking's not the worst thing you could do.
Yes, one day. But anyway, it's already to start to become heavy. You know.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, Luca, thank you so much for joining us on the radio. I know you literally just arrived in Brisbane, so you've done really well to keep us entertained, and I have learnt so much about Barbera. I'm going to give it a lot more respect now, I think.
Thank you. All right.
It's a pleasure.
Well, man, have fun with the Barbera, and you will see that he's a... you can open Barbera with everything. My wife always has an example to describe Barbera as that she said that is like a black Hermes bag.
Yep.
That goes well with everything, you know, every type of dress. You know, I would say that it's cheaper than Hermes bag. Thanks,
God. I guess you get to use the handbag more than once, though.
Yes.
All right, Luca, we're gonna leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us on the radio, and I'm gonna give our address in a second. And if people want to visit you over in Piedmont, they can. We'll tee it up for them. That's no trouble at all.
Thank awesome. You. Thank Grazie you. Mille. Thanks a lot, and ciao to everybody. Ciao, ciao.
That was Luca Corrado from Vietti.